Every once in a while, worship, you know, just God just shows up. And we don't even really need a sermon. If you were here and you were worshiping, you don't really need a sermon because we've already had one, amen? And God is good. Let's thank the Lord if we can, and the worship team. We want to welcome you on whatever campus you're attending today, Porter Ranch in West Valley or up in Agua Dulce or watching online. We are starting a new series here today that's going to last 7 weeks, going to lead us up to Easter, and it has to do with our theme for 2019, which is I Love What? LA. And Pastor Jeff and I together, we're going to be looking at 7 different things that LA is known for. Things that when people think of Los Angeles, things that just come to their mind. And so we're going to be talking about Hollywood. We're going to talk about the Valley. We're going to talk about the freeways and Disneyland. And we're going to talk about that sign over that hotel that says Jesus Saves, the Jesus Saves sign. We're going to be looking at all of that, and today, as many of you know, everyone who came to church today is going to get a t-shirt, and I have one right here. There's a white one, and there's a dark one here, and on the back, it says Shepherd Church on the back, so anyone who leaves early will not get one. I just want you to know that. Please tell your neighbor what you just heard. Just tell them don't leave early or you're not getting a t-shirt. And after church, out in the north patio, which is that direction, outside, if it's not raining, they're going to be handing those t-shirts out. There's 2 lines, one that goes from the prayer tower and one that goes from pillars. They think they're going to get through about 200, hand out about 200 of these per minute. They are highly organized out there, so it won't take long once we get started. I do want to mention on April 2nd, if you have your bulletin, you might just open that puppy up. And on the lower left-hand corner, just to let you know, we're having one of the weekends we're talking about sports or Dodger Stadium, but we're going to have a Dodger night where you can go online, and there's a website there on Shepherd Dodger Day, and you can register or pick up or order your tickets immediately. So I think we're all sitting out in the left field pavilion, and the reason I'm mentioning that is because I want you to wear your shirt that night, okay? I want everyone who goes out there to see a bunch of crazy people wearing I Love LA t-shirts. So get you a shirt and get you those tickets, and we'll plan on seeing you there on April 2nd. And also in your bulletin on the left-hand side or the right-hand side, I want you to know that the Passion Play tickets are available today as well, I think starting this weekend. And you can order those outside. I think the office is actually in the prayer tower, the base of it. So ask, or you can, I think you can order those online, I'm not sure. But the Passion Play is going to be as good, if not better, than it's ever been before. If you've never seen it, it's a great opportunity for you to invite people and introduce them to our church. And before I get started, I just want to mention that we do have life group curriculum. And we're hoping that after church today that you will register to get involved, either just to attend or to host a life group. And if you just want to do it just in your own family, you can do that. But again, this is where you dig deeper, and we have a DVD, and we have about an 80-page booklet that goes along with this entire 7-week series. And this stuff is free, all right? You're excited about the t-shirt, you should be excited about this. And if you've never tried a life group, this would be a great time for you to try. Because there'll never be a better series or an easier series for you to participate and to get involved with. It's going to be a fun, encouraging, and uplifting and challenging series that's going to help you in your walk with God. How many of you know that God in heaven desires to walk with you. How many of you know that? He desires to walk with you. But what he wants is he wants you to desire to walk with him. We already know he wants to walk with you. The question is, do you want to walk with him? Today, inside your bulletin, if you'll take your sermon outline, our first topic of discussion are the beaches of California. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 5. There's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 5 I want you to see with your own eyeballs, all right? Jeremiah chapter 5, and if you look at the cover of the bulletin and if you look at the screen behind me, one of, if not the biggest draw for the millions of people who moved to California, and I don't know if you know this, but close to 50 million people visit California every year, is because of our weather and our beaches. Now, if you were born and raised here, you might take that for granted. But if you're like me and you grew up in another part of the country where it's cold and snowy, you never take it for granted. Can someone say amen? I remember the day like it was yesterday. I hate to tell you how long ago, but it was about 31 and a half years ago when I moved from Des Moines. That's what you call it. We called it Des Moines, Alaska. I moved from Des Moines, Alaska to sunny Southern California, and I remember the day that I drove out here. I drove on the 10 freeway. The 10 freeway is the fourth largest interstate in the United States of America. It's the largest interstate in the southern part of the United States. It goes all the way from Florida to California. And I was driving through New Mexico, through Arizona. I came to the great state of California, my first day here, and I'm driving down the 10 freeway, headed west, and the map, not the GPS, I had a real map. Some of you don't even know what that is. But the map said I was supposed to go north on the 5 or the 101 or the 170 to go north up to Granada Hills. But when I was on the 10 freeway, my first day, I decided I'm going to go straight. I'm not getting off this freeway. And I'm going to go until I see the beach. And that 10 freeway took me, you know where, right into Santa Monica, California. And I thank God when I got out of my car. I thank God that he called me out of the cold weather climate to the beaches and the warm weather of Los Angeles. And I have been thanking him ever since. Oh, yeah. Pastor Jeff will mention in the very first life group lesson that there are 95,000 miles of shoreline in the United States of America. And there's something about the waves that are calming, that are mesmerizing, they're soothing, they're majestic, they're beautiful, they're addictive-like. And I never, and you don't either, we never get tired. I don't know why. You never get tired of watching the waves. You never get tired of listening to that sound as they crash along the shore. The next time you're at the beach and the next time you see those waves, I just want you to know that all of that is from God. That if it wasn't for God, there would be no beaches, there would be no sand, there would be no water, there'd be no waves. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 22, "Should you not fear me, declares the Lord? Should you not tremble in my presence?" And then he says, "I, God, I am the one who made the sand a boundary for the sea, an everlasting barrier that it cannot cross." I've asked myself standing there, why does the water stop right here? Why doesn't it stop behind up there? Why does it stop right here? God said, "I made the sand a boundary for the sea, an everlasting barrier that it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it." God is the one who established the shoreline. Amen. Something happens every time I'm at that beach watching those waves. I can't help but think about God. It draws me to God. I don't know how you can be an atheist and sit there on the beach. I don't know how you do that. Psalm 19 says that God reveals himself in creation. And there are three things I learned that I want to share with you about God that I learned from the waves of the sea. The first one is obvious, and that is he is a creative God. Our God is creative. And all you have to do is go back and read the Bible starting at the very, very beginning, the book of Genesis, the first three chapters. In fact, the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, says that in the beginning that God created the heavens and the what? In the earth. And in those first three chapters, the Bible explains that in the first 2 days that God created the earth and he created the sky and he created the sea. And I believe the entire earth, when God first created it, was covered by the sea. Because the Bible says on the third day, he created land. That the land was created on the third day. The oceans on the second day, but the land on the third day and the vegetation. And on the fourth day, God created the stars and the sun and the moon. On day five, he created the sea creatures and the birds of the air. On day six, he created all the animals, at least the dogs. I don't know where the cats came from. I don't know if God, I wasn't here. We don't really know where those cats came from. But on day six, he created humans, both male and female. And on the seventh day, God rested. I want you to think about it, that everything on this earth was created in 6 days. 6 days. The oceans, the mountains, the stars, the galaxies, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. Yosemite, Niagara Falls, the hills of Porter Ranch, the continents, North and South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, the Antarctica, Australia. In 6 days, he created the seven seas and the five oceans and the beaches and the sands and the waves and all of mankind. Did you know that the oceans cover 70% of the earth's surface, but less than 5% of the ocean has ever been explored? That nearly 94% of all life on earth exists in the oceans? That between 70 and 80% of the oxygen that we need to survive is produced by the marine algae in the ocean? And that right now the earth is spinning 1,000 miles per hour on its axis, and at the same time we're spinning 1,000 miles per hour on its axis, that the earth itself is rotating around the sun, traveling close to 70,000 miles per hour? Did you know that the tides are a battle between the gravitational pull of the earth against the gravitational pull of the moon, and the earth always wins? That scientists still today do not and cannot fully explain how gravity exists? Did you know that there are 400 billion stars in our galaxy, but there are over 200 billion other galaxies besides our galaxy? Did you know that the sun is 93 million miles away, and yet the sun is so massive that you could put 1.3 million Earths inside the sun? Did you know that if all of your DNA inside your body was unraveled and laid end to end, that the strands of DNA in your body would stretch to 34 billion miles long? I'm telling you, God is a creative God. And I want you to write this down. I want you to write this down. It speaks to the fact that God can do anything. He can do anything. So when you study, everybody say study, and I mean study the universe and study creation, and you study how the human body exists, and you realize, as Isaiah chapter 40 verse 12 says, that he holds the entire universe in the palms of his hand. It speaks to the truth that God can do anything. Because he's creative, that he's sovereign, that he's all-knowing, that he's detailed, that he understands everything. It means that your impossible situation is always possible with the Lord God's help. It means that when you can't figure anything out, that God has everything figured out. And I just want you to know and understand that whatever situation you're facing today, that it does not surprise God, it doesn't baffle God, it doesn't stress God out, because we serve a God who specializes in the impossible. All you have to do is ask Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 17, 17, who was over 80 years of age, when God blessed her with a son named Isaac, if God specializes in the impossible. Why don't you ask old Balaam over there in Numbers chapter 22, when he looked over at his donkey and his donkey started talking in the Hebrew language, if God specializes in the impossible. Why don't you ask the Israelites in Exodus chapter 14, when their backs were up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh and the entire Egyptian army was about to attack them, and God miraculously opened up the Red Sea and the Israelites escaped walking across a dry riverbed, if God specializes in the impossible. Why don't you ask the Virgin Mary in Luke chapter 1? She'd never even been with a man, yet she gave birth to the baby Jesus. Ask her if God specializes in the impossible. And while you're at it, why don't you ask the lame man who was healed in John chapter 5, or the blind man in Luke chapter 18 who received his sight, if God specializes in the impossible. And while you're at that, why don't you just flip on over there to John chapter 11, and why don't you ask Lazarus, who had been rotting away in the grave for 3 days before Jesus raised him from the dead, ask old Lazarus if God specializes in the impossible. I guess what I'm trying to tell you today is that whatever your problem might be and that you're worried about, that you're all stressed out about today, I want you to know that God has a million ways to solve that problem. He said in Luke 18, verse 27, Jesus said these words, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." We serve a God who specializes in the impossible. Number two, when I look at those waves, I think of the faithfulness of God, that God is faithful. I want you to say, God is faithful. I have never been, and I don't go a lot, but I have never been to a beach. I've never stood and watched the waves crash along the shore, that I do not think this thought, that those waves have been hitting this shore since the beginning of creation. These waves that I'm looking at, had I been here 100 years ago, I would have seen these waves. If I'd have been here 500 years ago, there were waves still crashing along these shores. If I was here 1,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago, if I were standing right here on this shore, these waves have been crashing along these shores since God created the earth. And it causes me to think of the faithfulness of God, that as consistent as these waves are, that's how consistent God happens to be. Because day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, God is a faithful God. The writer of Lamentations says in chapter 3, look at these words. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The writer of Exodus wrote in Exodus 34, verse 6, that the Lord is a compassionate and he's a gracious God. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love and he's abounding in faithfulness. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." The writer of Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1, "O Lord, you are my God, and I will exalt you, and I will praise you, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things." Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "God is faithful." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, "The one who calls you is faithful." 2 Thessalonians 3, 3, "The Lord is faithful." And you know Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's good news, that God does not change like shifting shadows. Because when you look at the waves, they come one after another. I want you to be reminded of the faithfulness of God. And it speaks to, I want you to write this down, it speaks to the truth that His love endures forever. His mercy endures forever. His goodness endures forever. We serve a God who is a good, good Father, because moment after moment, day after day, He loves you. He cares for you. He's providing for you. He's graceful to you. He's good to you. When you see those waves, and as you listen to the calming consistency of those waves, remember that all of creation, remember this, that all of creation was for you, for your enjoyment, for your good pleasure. God gave you eyeballs so that you could see the beauty of His creation. He created all that He created just because He wants to be good to you. God was the one that put taste buds on your tongue so that on one day you can taste a strawberry and the next day you can taste chocolate and the next day you can eat a taco and the next day for the rest of your life you eat tacos. He did that for you. All on this planet, according to the story of creation, was for you. And He's still not finished yet creating, because the Bible says for the past 2,000 years, He's been working, creating your eternal dwelling, a place called heaven, right now while you're sitting here. Some of you are sitting right here and us not paying attention. You're just looking around, where's my t-shirt? Where's my t-shirt? Where's my t-shirt? And while you're sitting here going, where's my t-shirt? God is up in heaven working away on your heavenly home. I just want you to remember, to thank, to acknowledge when you're at the beach and you're marveling at the beauty of the beach that God loves you. He loves you yesterday. He loves you today. He'll love you tomorrow. He loves you for all of eternity. And the most amazing thing about the faithfulness of God is this truth in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, that says, even when we are faithless, that God is faithful. Greater than the ocean. Greater than the waves. Greater than all the mountains. Greater than all the flowers. Greater than all the stars in the sky is the love of God. No one, there is nowhere you can run. There is nowhere that you can hide that is beyond the love of God for you. His love in high definition, resolution, is when you see His Son Jesus on a cross. 2,000 years ago, God gave up His one and only Son to prove His love for you, to redeem you, to restore you, to save you, to forgive you, to cleanse you. But I want you to know that God's love, do not miss this point, that God's love is not just a once-in-a-lifetime thing that happened 2,000 years ago on a cross. No. Yes, the cross depicts His love for you, that Jesus Christ died on that cross in your place. That was the greatest act of love that there's ever been. But every day since that day, 2,000 years ago, when they pulled His body down off that cross, like the waves that fall across the shores of the world for the last 2,000 years, is the love and provision that God washes over you moment by moment, day by day. And number three, the third thing I think about is the power of God. That God is powerful because inside those waves, There is energy. There is power. I want to show you a 90-second video. Everybody say 90 seconds. 90 seconds. Watch this video. Did you guys see Pastor Tim in that wave right there? You know, the one thing that I thought about when I was working on this point is the first time you ever saw the ocean and you walked out there and the waves weren't like that, they were about this high. But you were scared to death. You'd just never seen anything like that before. And you might have tried to wade out there and you just couldn't do it. I mean, it wasn't gonna hurt you. What wasn't gonna hurt you? She's like foot high, Malibu. And you kind of walked in this, you know, the sand kind of sucks you in and you kind of walked out. You were like, what is this? But then you start to get used to it. At first it was frightening and it was a little scary. But even in that little tiny wave, the tiny wave, not those big waves, in the tiny wave you felt the power and the energy. You started eventually to begin to think about the size and scope when you started to settle down and you started to think about how the 3/4 of the surface of the earth is covered with water and you start to realize how vast it is. And you can't help but think about how great God is and how powerful God is. You start to think of his creativeness to even design it, and then his faithfulness that has been hitting these shores. And then you begin to stand in his power. And on one hand, I totally understand when you're standing there that you can't help but have reverence for God. You can't help but have some sense of awe of God. You can't help but be honored in some way and to have a reverence and an honor and a respect for God. And then you're reminded that this is his world and we're all just living in it. I want you to remember that. But even though it causes me to revere him, write this down, it speaks to the truth that as his child, that you have absolutely nothing to fear. If this is just his handiwork, there is nothing in your life that is beyond God's ability to handle. He's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he's omnipresent, he's in all places, and he's omnipotent, he is all-powerful. As we close, I want to show you this text in Mark chapter 4. It is so fitting. And I want you to put yourself in the boat, so to speak. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4 that Jesus had got all the disciples together and they had gotten in a boat. And they went sailing across the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee on a regular basis is kind of like the weather we've been having around here. It can be sunny one day and a storm moves in. And you wonder, where did this come from? And the Bible says, as the Lord and the disciples were sailing across the Sea of Galilee in verse 37, that a furious storm, not just any old storm, it was a furious storm that came up. And the Bible says that the waves, everybody say the waves. The waves began to break over the boat so that it was nearly, what's the word? Swamped. And verse 38 is, to me, one of the funniest verses in the whole Bible. Because it says that Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. He's asleep. And they're just old wooden boats, but somehow he had a cushion. The disciples, they woke him and they said to him, "Teacher, don't you care? And we're gonna drown. And you're sleeping on a cushion." He got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the Bible says that the wind died down and it was completely calm. There wasn't a ripple. He might have done it just so he could go back to sleep. Think about it. But then he turned to his disciples in verse 40. He turned to who? He turned back to the disciples and he said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Over in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 8, same story, Jesus asked this question. Here's how he worded it. "Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Have you not been with me these last few years as I have performed miracle after miracle after miracle? You have seen, you have watched, you have witnessed, you could give testimony, and all of a sudden, a little storm. Do you see me upset? No, I'm sleeping on a cushion. Where is your faith?" That question is for us. Where is your faith? Notice what the next part of that verse says. They asked this question. The Bible says, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and that they obey him? I think the disciples get a little bit of credit, just not much, just a little, for having just enough faith to know who to go to when their world was upside down, but they had no faith to believe that God could actually change their circumstances. And I know there are those here today, there are storm clouds that are swirling in your life. And I know there are those here today that the waves are about to swamp your boat, and your life and your health is failing, and your finances are in shambles, and your marriage is in trouble, and your child has become a prodigal, and your world appears to be crashing down upon you. And I believe you have enough faith and enough sense to know who you need to go to, which is Jesus, and why you're here in church. But the question is, do you have enough faith to know that God indeed can solve any problem you are facing here today? I hope today that the nature and the character of God, that He's the creator of this universe, and that He has you this very moment in the very palm of His hands. And you look at the faithfulness of God over the centuries. He has loved you, and the fact that His love endures forever and over and over and over and over again, He blesses you and He sustains you and He cares for you. And I hope when you see that the size and the scope and the vastness of His power, that it speaks to the fact that you have absolutely nothing to fear in life, that it might cause you to come today and to humble yourself before a God like that and surrender your life to His. Let's stand and bow our heads for a word of prayer. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask if you were blessed here today. Just raise your hand with your head bowed. How many of you were blessed here today? You're just blessed. How many of you are here today that you need to begin to run to God? You need to begin to trust God in the midst of your storm. That you need to begin to trust God. I want you to raise your hand if that's you here today. Father God, life is never easy. It is never easy. And people all over this house, on every campus, could give testimony that there are some good days, but there's a lot of tough days. And there are people right now living. Storms of life seem to be prevailing. And we run to You, O God, the one who's able to say, peace be still, and they'll calm those storms and calm those waters. But my prayer today is, God, that You would stretch our faith and get us to the point where we realize that You indeed are able to solve any problem that we're facing. And we come to You we don't come to You just because we need You to solve our problems. That's not why we come to You. We come to You because You're the creator God of this universe. We come to You because Your love endures forever. And that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on a cross in our place. And may we be reminded today of Your power, Your strength. And that, God, that there is nothing in this world, not even sin itself, that can defeat us. That through Jesus Christ, we have victory. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.